You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Bee Trees Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 193 of another Woodshop podcast, where we're rolling in hot off another workbench con trip. And honestly, Dan and I are literally having to be rolled into rooms after all the eating and staying up late we did. Now, it was another banger of a conference. We learned a lot. We forgot even more. And we're ready to do it all over again next year. But first, we're going to share it all with you with this recap episode.
Woo-wee! Recap.
Nothing to talk about. See you guys next week. Bye.
This was fun. Let's do it again.
You know how I would love to recap, Dan?
I don't know.
Top tier patrons?
It's been so long since we've done this. I forgot what was happening. Let's talk about patrons. I don't know why I'm talking funny like that.
Can you do it the whole episode, please?
Let's talk about patrons. First of all... No, I can't do it the whole time.
Please don't. No, it got worse.
We got one new patron, and he's a returning patron. And that is Scotty Holland from Elevated Wood Design. Thank you, Scotty. Thank you
for rejoining. He's my favorite European-themed patron. Holland.
Holland would be Europe, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's where IKEA is at, in Holland.
You know what? I'll allow it.
Am I right-ish? Correct.
You're in the ballpark. The best type of correct.
I'm in the... It's what kind of ballpark would that be in Holland? Would that be a...
Kickball or whatever they play out there.
No, don't they play that weird croquet? No.
Oh,
it's the baseball. It's the baseball ripoff. But they bounce the ball. Cricket! That's it.
Cricket.
It's cricket. I knew it. Anyway, let's talk about our top tier patrons. Because we always like to give those guys an extra shout out because they go above and beyond. And they are as follows. Scotty Holland. Hey! Woo! Thank you, Scotty. Charlie Coons from Stubby K Studio. Justin Frazier from Frazier Canyon Woodworks. Jesse McIntyre from Sage Hill Woodcraft. Gillette Woodworks. Victor Aragama. O'Healy Boots from Nick Brim Woodworks. I can't wait to talk about that. Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines. Thank you, Matt. Matt gave me a t-shirt at WorkbenchCon.
He gave me a t-shirt. I drove home in it.
What's even funnier about that? I don't know if it's funny or not, but we owe him a t-shirt.
Shut up.
Bill Burkle from WTB Woodworking. Malcolm over at Bossa Nova Woodworks. Can't talk well. Justin from Calvary Customs. Justin was one of the fine gentlemen that joined me at the Waffle House that one night, or early morning. We were there at 4 a.m. Anyway, Patrick Gensel from Patrick Gensel. Scott Shirk from Red Leg Custom Woodworks. Max
also at WorkbenchCon.
At Stubby K Studio. And I learned this at WorkbenchCon. Justin Bailey. From yes. Campfire Woodworks.
Justin Bailey was the one with the funny name.
The Lodenherbick.
Lodenherbick.
Yep, that was Justin.
Yeah.
That was Justin. He thinks he's funny. And it was actually a little funny, I guess.
Yeah, he's funny looking.
He is funny looking. I got to see a lot of Justin at WorkbenchCon.
Yeah, yeah, really a lot.
I saw a lot of people at WorkbenchCon. A lot.
Upwards of...
More than six.
Hundreds. More than six, at least. More than I see every week on this podcast. Also, Dan, what is happening with the background there? Like for a while, I couldn't tell where my video started and where yours did because they're like the same color.
Oh, we have the same. Oh, I forgot to switch. I had this color scheme when we had on the Pineys, and you know what?
I like it.
It's less.
You got the pink and the purples. It's nice.
It's less angry.
It is less angry. Yes, the red is very angry. I'm glad you did that.
This is more subdued. Subdued, Dan. I'm doing voices this week, you guys.
Dan's doing subdued voices.
I don't know what's going on. I think what's happening is I haven't had a drink since we got back from WorkbenchCon because I'm all like,
is everything okay at home?
Yeah, everything's great. Everything's great. I don't know about you, but I need to make some life changes, bro. I saw myself in so many pictures and videos. I'm like, oh my God.
This is the moment that made you think that?
Well, it certainly didn't help. Or it, it, it did
transparency,
help.
Anytime Dan and myself get back from WorkbenchCon or Maker Camp or any event where makers get event, together
really.
And become belligerent at least one night, we're like, we got to make some changes, man. Oh, we got to make some changes.
Gotta make some changes.
So we're going to make some changes this year.
Damn it. It's going to happen.
Or quite literally, die trying.
That's probably more accurate than I'd like to.
At this point. Yeah. Like, we are going to make change or die trying. So let's do it.
Well, what made things worse this year was Nick and Brayden, Nick Brim,
O'Healy Bros,
and Brayden from Little Bug. They're my ride or die. They're my Oma Bros, in case you guys didn't know. Nick lives 20 minutes from me to the east. Brayden lives 20 minutes from me to the west. We hang out. I see him all the time. Anyways, they scoured my old Instagram post, and they found a post from 2019. And I made this post because I had just bought my first WorkbenchCon ticket. And I went out into my shop, and I did like a hooting and hollering, like Howard Dean
you
style.
You were a little excited.
I was very excited. I was going to WorkbenchCon for the first time.
Yeah.
And they found it. I didn't know it still existed, and they made it into like this little meme, and they spread it around. And when the plane landed in Atlanta this year, when I got off, I had no less than like 50 messages of people tagging me in remixes of this thing. And I was flattered, but I was also looking at that old video going, oh my God, what has time doneth to me? You know what I mean?
It's ironic you're saying that, Dan, because I'm in a lobby. First night, having a grand old time, having a great time, and then Tweedledee, Dumb and Dumbest all walk in from the airport, rocking giant billboard T-shirts of my face, circa like 2012. When I
first
had long
of all,
hair
you did
a pencil stash.
We did the like mad dash to change our clothes in the parking lot. Of the hotel, not the parking lot, like the main entrance door. We just stood off to the side. We're like, okay, we gotta get these changed. We didn't want to wear them on the way to the airport, and then like somebody do like a story or something, and it to show
ruin
up.
Ruin it,
yeah.
But like not just T-shirts. Like Brayden's shirt was literally one of those like bedazzled, like flip your hand over it one way, and it's a heart, and just like blue heart, and you flip it down, and it's my stupid face. And they had hats. Dan's literally wearing it. You should check out the video.
No, it's
on YouTube.
A great hat. I love his hat.
I think I have one that says like Little Bug Woodworking, but it's my dumb face on it. And honestly, like I keep looking at him like, that was a good look. I should come back to that.
No.
Yeah, it slaps.
No, I think your wife would agree with me. I don't think that's
all right. Bringing it back, baby. Nope. Let's go.
Okay, that'll be our poll in the next pre-show. We'll do that poll.
But dude, I was dying when that happened. I walk up to
that
say
was
hi
fun.
To you guys, and I look at you guys, and I literally just start wheezing and crying all at the same time.
That was
and
fun.
And everyone at the bar is like, what the actual F is happening? Who's that lady on your shirt, and why does she have a beard?
No, she had she's got a tiny lip mustache. I don't know. Oh yeah, you got a little goatee.
Look at the video, huh? Filled in. I have a beard now. I'm a real boy.
Yeah, that was fun. Dumb. That was fun. I enjoyed that a lot. I think that might have been my highlight for the whole trip, walking in with the shirt.
That was pretty hilarious, man.
I had a really hard time keeping that a secret. I'm not good at keeping fun secrets. I like to share.
I'm shocked
fun
that you guys
people.
Kept it going as long as you did without me finding out.
Oh yeah, we've been planning it for a couple weeks.
Days fun. Even.
Days even.
Days
anyway.
Even.
Well, what do we Dan, do here? It's been so long.
So we're going to get into with because we have some questions and we have some people call in with their favorite part of WorkbenchCon, their experience with it, you know, what they liked, what they didn't like, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to kind of get into that. But I guess we'll give you guys a quick little recap of WorkbenchCon. If you don't know what WorkbenchCon is, you've been living under a rock because we've been talking about it for the last 6 months. It's a huge conference.
And now it's gone.
And now it's gone in Atlanta every single year. And it runs from Thursday up until Saturday night. And it's essentially a content creator oriented, conference where you're learning, you're going to classes, seminars, you're talking with brands, you're talking with other huge accounts, you know, like the monster accounts that we all follow and love. And you get to just talk to them face to face and ask them questions, and they share the information.
The way you say openly. That, it makes it sound like they're like animals in a zoo. You get to walk up to them and look at them.
It's like an alpaca farm. Like, you can walk up and like pet them,
and then
spit on you.
Then when you leave, you can get a pair of socks made from their fur.
Ooh,
alpaca socks. Oh, those are a thing. Yeah.
Bourbon moth socks. Nice.
Yeah.
Dull chest hair.
Made from his chest hair.
Why don't we both go to chest? Very voluptuous locks in his chest.
This is real awkward.
Bourbon moth chest hair. That's going to be the show title.
Well,
why not?
I thought we were just going to keep it simple with WBC recap, but bourbon moth chest hair could work, I guess.
I guess that works.
SEO.
Well, but the event was a lot of fun.
A
bit of a topic came up yesterday when we were chatting in our we have several chats. I feel like I'm in like six chats with Dan.
No, one of them, no, you're not in six chats with me. You're in two, because I refuse to do that many group chats. Group chats are the bane of my existence.
Technically, I also text you directly, which is another group chat.
I mean,
very lame group. Just party of two.
The group is me and you.
Just party of two.
Is that really a group chat? In that case, I have thousands of group chats.
So we were made aware of something. First of all, so we're at WorkbenchCon. It's 500 tickets were sold, roughly. I think that's usually the number. 500 to 700 is like
what they cap it around there. With. Yeah.
And, you know, it's always packed in the lobby and in the afterwards, everyone kind of hangs out in the lobby by the bar. And this year felt very light. We're all kind of like, what's happening? Where is everyone? And we didn't know what was happening, because usually you're bumping into people at the bar. This time we're just like strolling through between groups. It still was a lot of people, probably 200 people in that lobby, but spread out. And it just didn't feel as busy as it was in the past. So we had found out that apparently it was the record number of new people attending the conference. And apparently not all of them they were a little intimidated by the core group. So before I go any further, walk up to us. We all want to talk to you. I don't care who you're thinking of, whether it's me and Dan at the bottom or the big wigs at the top, you know.
So I'm usually on the bottom.
Dan's a power bottom.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But so the whole conversation started because someone had reached out to one of our friends and was like, hey, like, it was great meeting you. It was awesome. You know, I got to say, though, like, you guys were a little the big influencers were a little unapproachable, or was like intimidating to approach. And my first reaction was, he thinks we're big influencers.
First of all, I'm pretty sure that person was not talking about you specifically.
No, but one of the, like, someone who we hung, it was Brayden. Like, it was we hang out with all the time. And I'm not putting anyone on blast. Like, I'm just going to put it from the other end now, because my first time at WorkbenchCon, I was mortified to say hi to anyone that was like the people I'd idolized. Like, I remember like shaking hands with like Jason and Keith and Jimmy for the first time, being like, I just said hi to Jimmy. And me and Dan giggling in a corner.
My first year, I really wanted to go talk to Paul Jackman, and I was too like
same
scared. Or love intimidated or whatever. Yeah, now I
remember
just,
that too, man.
Now he looks at me and makes fat jokes. So here we are. Now, the moral of the story is like, not only should you not be intimidated by going up to people and saying hi and introducing yourself, but it's kind of a two-way street. Simply because like, we're people too. And I'm going to include myself into that group, I guess, for some reason. But we're people, too. And, like, if you don't at least come up and say hi and introduce yourself, like, we're not just going to walk around like we're the bride and groom and introduce ourselves to everybody. You know, we're being
clarify. We're not talking whatever, like we're some big influencers. That's not.
It's more not. Of just absolutely like not.
I kept referring to it as the core group. It's the people that are the loudest and most annoying on the internet.
Yeah, they're like, there's like 200 people.
Yeah, and it's like, we all kind of know each other or know of each other, or our friends are friends with our friends. Basically, we all kind of hang out together. So it's not a numbers game. It's not a popularity thing. Because like, even, you know, look at our core group, like the Oma Bros and and me, you know, and like Emma, like more people cared about Emma than all of us combined.
Absolutely,
first of all,
it is.
Then it's like me and Dan, who are like, there's the big accounts, you know, whatever. But then, like, you know, Brayden's to me, he's a decent big account too. And then you got Nick, who's like kind of doing us for fun on the side, just for the hangouts. And like, we're literally the widest range of like influence on the internet, but we're all friends. And that's kind of my point. Cause like, I used Brayden as the example when we were talking about this, because last year, Dan's like, I'm bringing this guy with me. He's going to share the room. His name is Medium Bug, whatever. Like, and I'm just like, who's this dude? Never heard of him. Okay, whatever. I see him and I'm like, all right, well, let's all hang out. Like, I don't know who it is. Like, I'm just going to be cordial. Brayden's like my brother now. He's family. As much as, because, you know, you love him and you hate him. So sometimes I hate him, sometimes I love him. But like, Brayden's family. Nick Brim is family. Scott Shirk joined us. I love that dude. I've been talking to him for years on the stoop. Like, all these people are really close friends of ours, and all the people that like are the core group, it's because it's basically just time. We saw each other enough times at these big enough events, were in each other's content, helped each other out in some way, worked on projects together. It's just really, really nice. Sorry, Dan just texted me.
I didn't want to say that out loud.
No, it's fine. But it's just, you know, like, we all, basically, I jokingly always say this with Emma about Emma joining the business. Like, it's just attrition. We wore them down. We just kept showing up until Sam was like,
I like that. We wore them down.
You can hang out.
You're back. Okay. Well,
You're
this
clearly
is just
not
something
going
I'm
going
to have to live with now.
So basically, this is an invitation for everyone to just like come by, say hi, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where we're at. Like, I even have people approach me at Menards here locally occasionally. I mean, it's
never
it's
been happened. Recognized anywhere ever.
I have like 2 or 3 times now. Like, oh, you're here. I always wondered if I was going to run into you. I was like, oh, yeah, here I am.
You do shop here. Okay.
Yes. It's not a bit. I shop here. They have the best mayo selection.
So on the flip side of this whole like quiet lobby time, I got to say, it was really nice to just talk to that core group. Like, we got to still continue the conversations with people we idolize and like and love and want to know more or work with or have worked with. So it was really nice to kind of connect with everyone. And it was, you know, because it felt lighter. So it felt like I really got more like one-on-one time with people this time, mm-hmm. which was really cool. I didn't get enough time with you, Dan. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think we spread ourselves out a little bit. And I talk to you like every week. And even more than that, I talk to you every day. So frankly, yeah. I get tired of talking to you.
Yeah, so, when me and Dan get together, it's silent.
Yeah, it's awkward.
We'll like
silence.
Sit there and we're both on our phones and like, this is great. Let's do it again. God, So what else, Dan? What else was exciting about the week?
I mean, this year I kind of took it easy. I only stayed up super late one night, one faithful night. Me and like several guys, I can't even remember who all it was. I know there was like 6 or 7 guys, but we all went to the Waffle House at about 4 a.m.
Which is when you go to Waffle House. You know the number one rule of Waffle House, right?
If it's your first night, you have to fight or something.
You have
like
to
that.
Fight. If it's your first time, you have to fight. Yes.
It wasn't my first time, thankfully.
my goodness.
And that it all sounded like a great idea at the time, man. I tell you what, it sounded lovely. I was like, oh yeah, Waffle House sounds wonderful. Granted, I was 19 sheets to the wind at that time. And it was great, but the day after, man, I felt like poo-poo. And I stayed in my bedroom in the hotel room until 3 p.m.
Dan took a sick day.
I took a sick day, and I was like, I better go down there, because like the closing ceremony speech that Anne of All Trades was given was like at 4 or 4:30. So yeah, I had to make my way down eventually. Otherwise, I could have stayed in the room all day.
I know, but then you're missing out on all this stuff, and it's all that FOMO.
Other than that, I went to bed at a respectable hour.
Remarkably responsible this year. I felt very proud of myself, because I was like, Emma's going to bed early because she's pregnant, she's tired, and
she's pregnant. She's no fun.
She's still fun, just in her own pace.
She's fine. I'm kidding. I love you, Emma.
I didn't want to stay up super late. Like, I think one night I stayed up till 2 was my late night. And I feel like this year, every year, honestly, I've been getting better about managing my time there. And one thing that, you know, some people were giving me crap for the first day, because everyone's going real hard that Wednesday night, even that Thursday night. They're like, because Wednesday night is that's the pre-show.
I don't remember what time I went to bed Wednesday night. I feel like it was relatively, like, it may have been like 1 or 2. And I say relatively early, because like, in Workbench Con's past, I've stayed awake till 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yeah. That's been like a
standard. So if I go to bed at 1 or 2 at Workbench Con, that feels like it's early.
But like for us, Wednesday night was day 4. So like we were already 4th day into our trip of like driving.
Right.
The total trip time, I threw the numbers at everyone when I finally got home. We spent 35 hours in a car.
Oh, God.
We drove 2,000 miles over the whole trip, because we went down to Nashville, stayed with Brett and Bethany, had a great time there. Then went down to Fort Payne, Alabama, stayed with our friends at the school bus again. And then we went up to Workbench Con. So we're already tired. It was like 4th night. And
just
then
think, next year you're going to do it with a child.
Yeah, next year we're gonna figure out. I don't think we're bringing the kid to that, so it's either gonna be just me or we're gonna figure out something. I don't know. We'll plan that when we get to it.
Yeah, burn that bridge when you get there, baby.
That's not the saying.
Isn't it's not? No. Okay.
Yeah.
Burn that baby when you bridge there.
We'll kind of get into like more of the classes and things, but like, do you have any takeaways or like what was like your favorite moment, and maybe like what some stuff maybe you learned from another maker or a class?
I don't know. Come back to me on that. I need to think more. Okay. I mean, I had a really cool moment, and I don't know if I want to share that, because it was it felt like a private moment. And I don't mean that in any kind of creepy, weird way. It was just, I had a really good talk with somebody who I really idolize, and it was a really good talk, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm going to treasure that talk for all my life.
I think you can say the name.
I had a really good talk with Jimmy Duresta, and it was fantastic, but I won't go into detail. But yeah, that was probably my big takeaway and my favorite moments.
I think knowing who it is makes it a little deeper too. Like Jimmy is.
If you ever know him, if you ever get a chance to meet Jimmy, or you know, you see him out somewhere, go up to him, talk to him. He's one of the best humans on this planet. He is so welcoming and just full of knowledge, and he's always willing to talk, and he's just great. He's great. I can't say enough good things about Jimmy.
I like turned around and he was there, and his hand was coming to me for a handshake before I even like said hi to him, and I was like, Jimmy knows me. I was like, so excited. Like, Jimmy knows who I am. At least he knows my face. He doesn't have to know my name, but
yeah,
he is genuinely one of the nicest people in the community. Like, all the hype is real. Jimmy is great. What did you learn, Dan? Did you take something away from the whole experience?
I think you and I kind of learned the same thing. We already talked about it a little bit, so I'm going to steal some of your fire. I learned never to file for a patent unless you know it's a banger idea and you're going to make millions off of it. That's filing for a patent is a bad, bad idea. What else did I learn? I don't know.
That was from Chris and Chris from A Glimpse Inside, and Philip
Miller.
Miller.
Not Morley.
Yeah, it's kind of like, Miller. No, it's a different one. Different M. They're talking about the two different approaches to like bringing a product to market.
Right.
You know, one was basically, I have one product and I'm trying to patent it and do all this stuff, and he's going through all this stuff like, you're talking me out of it. And then, and he got Chris, who's like, Make all the things, see what sticks to the wall, and keep going.
Yeah, and I got several good motivational talks from other people, like down the lobby and stuff, about how to more efficiently run my Etsy store. So hopefully I can put that into practice one of these days. Before I do any of that, the shop of mine needs to be upended and overhauled and just cleaned out and reorganized.
Gotta clean it up. Oh, I still got to come out to you guys one day and just help you out one weekend.
Well, the Oma Bros and I, I am an Oma Bro, so the
You're
Oma
throwing Bros. OmaCon?
We're going to have a shop organization cleaning like party, and we're going to do it for me, and then we're going to do Nick's shop, and then we're going to do Braden's shop, so... Not all at the same time. That would be
OmaCon.
Yeah, that's our OmaCon. How sad OmaCon. Is that? OmaCon. But seriously though, me, Nick, and Braden, we actually talked about, you know, the Midwest needs a workbench con or something because there's nothing here. There's nothing here of that. See,
the thing is with Omaha, as great of a central location as it is,
I'd be willing to go to Kansas City.
No, but that was my thought is yes. Like. Kansas City, I think, has more direct flights.
Yeah, it's an international airport.
That's why Atlanta is like as like far east as it is. Like it's a great spot because everyone flies indirect, basically, or you can at least. Yes. But I mean, I'd be down to come out to Omaha. We got to make a trip out there. We got to make something happen. It's gonna be fun.
You want to make another baby with me?
With you? We do have a baby. It's called AWP.
Oh, want to make another one?
Jeez, makes like a podcast. another podcast. We'll just make it.
That's what this community needs. More podcasts. Podcast.
Let's go.
Let's talk about that. Not. I don't know. I don't have much else to add. You know, I'll tell you this. I should have took more notes. I get so caught up in just talking to people and being in the moment. I don't make content while I'm there. And every time I get back, I see everybody's content that they make, and they show their little reels and their Workbench Con recap reels and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I should have took more videos and photos. And then we get to talking about, you know, what was your takeaway? And I'm like, oh, I should have took notes because your memory is horrible. And
my takeaway, Dan is stupidly good at scroll sawing.
Oh, yeah. I am.
Like, it should have
that no was shockingly. Way. I was shockingly good at that.
So... If I may share, like Dan has slightly shaky hands sometimes.
Yeah.
And it must have been offsetting the vibration of the scroll
it's
saw.
It's like when you pull up your iPhone camera and the shutter speed is going the same as the helicopter blade. And it looks like the helicopter blade isn't spinning.
Yes. Or when you're like taking a video and the flickering of the lights is exactly what the, right. Yeah. So like Dan is cutting. So Ashley from Ashwood and Hawk and Lizzie from A House of Timber. Right. I don't know if you guys heard of her. So they had these like glue on templates and it was like straight line, circle, square, squiggly. Right. So you can like practice scroll sawing. Dan is zooming.
I told him I'd never done it before.
And he's doing the squiggly line dead on center. And Lizzie and Ashley are both like, what?
You're a liar. You've done this. I've never done it. Never done it.
Everyone's just amazed. There's video of this. Like, Dan, but just post that as your thing.
Well, I already posted it.
It's on, yeah, but it's honestly, on my page. Like that experience, I really did enjoy scroll sawing. I'm like, oh man, I kind of want to get one. Emma enjoyed it.
It was fun. It was like old timey CNCing. It's fun.
Old timey CNCing.
No, it was fun. I would love to do it more, but like the last thing I need in my life is another rabbit hole to go down. Right? Like,
yeah.
I just got the thunder laser in today. That's another rabbit hole I'm going to be going down here pretty soon.
Well, do you want to jump in? Well, I guess no. Let's finish up the workbench con. I guess we'll get into the bench.
I haven't unboxed it yet, so I really don't know.
No, that'd be exciting. So what else? Did you talk to a lot of brands? Do anything like that, or lock down anything with some other makers?
You and I talked to brands together. We're trying to be perfectly honest. We're trying to get some more sponsorships for the podcast. So Pete and I did that. I did talk to the fine folks at Vetric. I'm excited about that. So I need to email those guys tomorrow, actually. I've been slipping. I know we've been back for almost a week. and I still haven't emailed. I figure you need to give those folks time to get back home and settle, right?
Right.
Because
yeah, I probably should have reminded you about that. They're probably going to get
bombarded with emails like right away, right? I don't want to get lost in the crowd. So, you know, you wait. You wait a little
bit. You know what's funny? I had one of them reach out to me like the first day, and I'm like, I was going to give you a day. Like, I was going to let you, they even specifically were like, reach, like, hit me up this week, but like, give me a couple of days and we'll take care of it. And they reach out to me Monday, and I'm like, I don't even have time to look at this.
Right.
Yeah. Like, Monday was crazy.
Were you with me, or was it Brayden and Nick that were with me when I talked to the Bill and Bill from Bow Featherboards?
Oh, that was me and you.
Was that you?
And his son, Bill.
They're very excited. And they got some pretty sweet products. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting in contact with them. They got a really cool...
Dan, you did get in contact. Actually, well, the podcast got in contact with them today.
Okay.
You should very also nice. Reach out to them.
Yeah, individually. Yeah.
But make sure to you got to email Bill, not Bill.
Okay.
Bill doesn't handle that. Bill does. So
gotcha.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that Bill at Bow or Billy at Bow?
Billy.
Billy at Bow. Okay. Anyways, yeah, they have a really cool bandsaw fence extension that I think would be very handy.
They actually launched a couple of cool new products. So we all know like Bow feather boards, like they're like those green feather boards.
Yeah, the green feather boards with the foam fingers. Yeah.
But they have these really nice, like it's powder coated extruded aluminum, not powder coated, but it's like anodized. It's really nice extension fences for your bandsaw or small like contractor saw. And they come with like a part on the bottom that you can slide in and out that basically extends your outfeed.
Yeah, it becomes so you're able
to have a lot more in and outfeed.
A really minimalized outfeed table, an infeed table, really.
Which in is really and out.
Slick. Yeah.
It goes both ways.
And it also comes with burgers and fries. In and out.
So it's pretty cool. So I did see a couple things that were pretty neat. You know, like new things that are coming out. Pardon me. One other thing that I saw that was kind of cool was Lightburn.
Thank you for reminding me. I forgot to go talk to those folks. I wanted to, and I never got a chance.
So just so you know, so the people that were there, it wasn't like their media manager team or content creators or sales. They sent two engineers.
Why?
Which, here's the thing, for marketing, whatever, might be a bad move. I loved it. They love it because we nerded out. Because here's what happened. Okay. I go there. And I'm like, hey, so what's going on? Like, I just approach. I'm like, I work with Lightburn already. Like, or I don't work with them in any way. But like, I use the application.
Right.
So I was like, oh, what do you guys, you know, like, what's going on? They're like, oh, we use Lightburn. I'm like, yeah, I use it every day. I do. I mean, shoot, I've done like one-on-one lessons with people. Like, if anyone uses Lightburn, it's me. And then they're like, have you heard of Mill Mage?
I need to sign up for.
Yeah, you need it. Yes, soon. You do. Exciting. Hey, another lesson I got to do.
Hey.
So then they're like, have you seen Mill Mage? I'm like, what are you saying to me? What's a Mill Mage? And it's a level 3 rogue gnome. Get it? Mill Mage. Never mind. Okay, that's a little callback joke. So Mill Mage is, imagine Lightburn. If you've ever used Lightburn, if you like Lightburn, it's that, but the whole right side of it, instead of exporting like your laser power and feed, it's your bits. It's for CNCing. So you select your stuff, you design just like you do in Lightburn, you do all that work in there. You have all the same exact tools, except on the right side, you have tool paths.
So they're trying to launch something for CNCs.
Yes.
And I mean, that makes sense, really.
Listen, here's the thing. Lightburn is not a high expense. Like, it's $100 for the application. And the way it works,
which is cheap compared to like Vectric.
Yeah, very
cheap. Guitar Pro or Aspire.
And actually, I'm going to lean into this whole thing because I've got a lowdown on something from Vectric as well. So with the whole Mill Mage thing, so Lightburn is like $100-something for the year of updates. You own it forever, but you don't get new updates. And if you ever want to re-up for the updates, you just buy it again, essentially. Or I think you can like pay for just an update, whatever. You can check out their website for it. So if Mill Mage has the same thing, that's a pretty nice solution for people. Now, granted, it's still an alpha. It's only got 2.5D, so it will do like what we think of 3D carves. Like when people say 3D carve, they mean double-sided, full 3D, like removing material or even like a rotary. Most of us, when we talk about 3D carves, like a panel that has some kind of wavy flag or whatever on it. That's 2.5D. I'm saying that correctly. If I'm wrong, just call me out next week. But so it has that, but it's still limited and doesn't have a lot of stuff. And it was actually really great because I'm like, can I take a look at it? And he's like, yeah, here's, and he actually pulled out his laptop. They weren't like demoing it actively. So I start messing around. I start making things. I'm like, oh, where is this tool? And he's like, oh, we don't have that. He pulls out a notebook, starts taking notes. And then we're like exporting stuff. And I'm like, toolpath. And you know how some, and I think in Aspire, you can select a toolpath and go, I want to do an offset of a quarter outside. Instead of making another offset and then making that line, whatever, you can just do it in the same toolpath. He's like, oh, that's a good point. Writes it down. I'm like, whoa, you guys are like, you're taking notes on this. They're like, yeah, we actually work on this application. So it was cool because it was literally the people that are writing the app are there.
Why didn't they just go talk to the folks over at Vectric?
Competitors. Yeah,
just that's like why Carf they were Co. so far or, apart. Okay, yeah, I get it.
Because they fight. Exactly.
They're fighters.
So here's the thing. Is it an end-all, be-all? No, not yet. But it's another option. And it's relatively cheap. And you more buy it once, you better. Keep it for forever. The more options, the better. Exactly. So that was really exciting. The other thing I learned about was Vectric has a, so we all heard of VCarve Pro and VCarve and Aspire. Aspire is so expensive. Oh. They have like Cut2D, I think is the application name.
Right.
Which is an entry level to $200. Basically looks like Aspire and VCarve Pro.
But it's missing
but it does, some it doesn't have any modeling. 3D modeling, right. But it will still do 2.5. D. So it'll still do, you know, obviously you can still do regular carving, everything, but like it's
pretty sure it's just fairly, flat carving.
No, I think it might do. Well, either way, here's the thing. For that low cost of entry, it's a great software because you get pretty much all the modeling stuff in there except 3D modeling.
Right.
And that's not a bad sale because we always look into like recommend stuff and we kind of always lean towards like, yeah, get VCarve Pro, but it's still like, what's like $600-$700?
Right. Yeah. I think VCarve Pro is around six or seven. Yeah.
So right. We're finding new solutions for all these like cheaper entry level CNC programs that are honestly pretty robust. That's the really nice thing. But enough about that. That was just cool. Some of the cool vendors that we talked to, X-Fasten was there. They had more tape than they knew what to do with.
For VCarve Pro.
That's steep. And what's the other one? Is it Cut2D?
Cut2D is their cheaper entry level version.
I think it's $200, right?
That's what they said when we were there, right?
I think he was looking it up. So we'll see. But there were some cool brands there. You know, we got to meet some. Shopsmith was there. Like the Shopsmith. Yes, that one. Yes, the one your grandpa had. They're still around. They're still making accessories and cool things for it. They had a bunch of stuff there. It was really interesting to see this thing like still chugging and doing some good work. So pretty exciting.
According to the website on Vectric.com, Cut2D Pro, and I don't know if there's a difference between Cut2D Pro and just Cut2D because I can't find it, but the Pro is $449.
And I think the basic one was...
I can't find... Cut2D.
Cut2D. Oh. $299.
Yeah, I just
apologize. $299.
Yeah, you beat me to it. Oh, Cut2D. Oh,
no, I'm sorry.
Desktop I just clicked, is $149.
Yeah, I clicked Cut3D. They have a 3D one as well. Mm. So, yeah, anyways, go check out the Vectric site. They're not paying us for any of this. No, I just thought it was cool to share with you guys. Yeah, exactly. It was, you know, there's some of the regular brands. Total Boat was always there. They're amazing. Bessie was there. Maker University was there. And I'll shout them
University.
Out. Yeah. So Nick restored this like yellow trike Nick mail who? Truck. Nick from Stated Wood Company. Correct. Stated Wood Co. So I forget his last name. I shouldn't. I feel like I knew it.
Nick Leonard.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. So they were there and they were just kind of pimping out the class. And I'm going to pimp it out more because I'm actually teaching a class on Etsy and other revenue streams or other storefronts online. I'll be teaching that. I think it's Tuesday or Thursday.
Oh, it's coming up soon. Out.
Tuesday, because Thursday we have a podcast.
Yeah, I can't do Thursday.
Yeah, I got to just finish up my slides and everything for that, but I'm pretty excited. So if you're looking to sign up for something, honestly, for the cost, it's a really nice class. They had Alex Snodgrass there a couple of weeks ago. They had, oh my god, why am I blanking on his name? him and his daughter were there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm like, he's going to come to me at some point. But anyways, they had some big heavy hitters on there. They're trying to grow it, and it's going to be a really cool thing. And it's maker made. It's our community. Christy and Nick made it. Like they started the school, and they're trying to really get it going.
The brains behind the Maker Collab.
Yeah, the brains behind Maker Collab that we all enjoy and love doing. So we want to support them too.
Was forced to sign up for.
Oh, you were doing it?
Yeah.
You're doing a music
we're
one?
We're trying to, the Oma Bros are trying to do a triangle of collabs.
The Devil's Triangle?
So Braden signed up with me as his teammate. I'm supposed to sign up with Nick as his teammate. And Nick is supposed to sign up with Braden as his teammate. And we're going to see how that works out.
Can you be on two teams?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So if that doesn't work, who's getting booted?
I mean, I will happily say.
Bow out.
I got enough to do, but they're like, no, you're doing it. And I'm like, okay, sorry.
Wait, now I'm kind of curious. Are Nick and Braden friends?
No, they hate each other.
Or is it like, no, because like, you know, sometimes you're friends with people because of friends. And then you're like, huh?
No. Yeah. Nick
that and third Braden, person's not here. And like,
they hate each other, man. They
can't
do
tell
not,
if you're kidding or not.
They don't like each other. It's super awkward all the time.
Super, super Omaha. Super Omaha. Okay. So, I mean, that was like, so that was the gist. I will talk about a little bit about the note taking. So I am a hypocrite. Dan is a hypocrite. We're
what?
Hippo crates. Crates full of hippos. Because what did we tell you guys all the way leading up to WorkbenchCon? Go with a plan. Know what
did I say that?
About.
Did I ever say that?
Well, we always say that. We.
I think you and, said that. I just said, okay.
Yeah, you said bring antacids and like. You know. But, you know, I always say like bring or like come with an idea of what you want to talk about, who you want to talk to. I like showed up and I realized I had never made a plan. I was like, there was no brand that I was like trying to talk to or like something I was going to try to start. I was just going for the enjoyment of it.
I was
like,
apparently I'm trying to start
pick some
fights.
Stuff up. But like three conversations in with like my friends or people I know or I talk to that are happen to be with brands as well, or they are a brand and I just know them. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize this, but these are conversations that I need to follow up on. Because it's all, you know, everyone's riding a high, like, right. Oh, yeah, let's talk about this. Let's work on this. Let me know if you have any questions or whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, I need to be taking notes. So I literally whipped out my phone and I wrote like every person I talked to that was a brand and like just notes underneath and like what I need to do. Because the next day I would look at it and be like, oh, I did talk to them. Okay. Or like, what's their name? Todd and Becky from Vetric. Boom. Got into notes. So it was really good to take those notes and kind of like and things I need to follow up on. And I wasn't deleting stuff from there. So I would be like, walk up tomorrow or like tomorrow, check in with this and send an email, ask about blank. And I just kept like I had questions and answers all like underneath each other. It wasn't a lot of notes. It was just enough to like keep me on track and remember.
Right. I didn't even think of the fact that you have a note taking device in your pocket.
It's weird. It's new age. Not everyone likes it. But it's great because now, like this week, you know, this week got away from us. We're talking, I keep reminding the guys because we have a little group chat again. We're trying to keep it as a useful group chat and be like, hey, follow up with the people you talk to. You guys probably heard me say that in stories too. Like, follow up with some of the brands.
The most useful thing you shared with me in that group chat is, hey, it's Thursday. We got a podcast. And I was like, oh my God, it's Thursday already? Are you kidding me? What the hell happened?
This week was so busy. Oh my God.
Insane. Yeah. So I had a lot of fun. So like people give me a hard time, right? And they like to razz me a little bit. And I'm sure it gets monotonous about how like every time we do the what's on your bench, I talk about, I'm doing Etsy orders. So like if people bring that up, I'm like, yeah, look. And I would pull up my phone and show my order queue to him.
Mountain of overdues.
Mountain. I literally had 30 overdue, just overdue ones. Not.
Ooh, you should get a like a shirt that says Mountain Overdue instead of Mountain Dew.
And they're like, oh my God. So yeah, I came back home, and that order queue reached as high as 102. I've still been trying to dig out. I mean, it's crazy. I Honestly, I shouldn't have gone to work BingeCon with how much work I got to do.
You had to.
And, you know, it's like 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, because, you know, orders are still coming in, which I'm grateful for. But holy moly, I am having a hell of a time digging out from underneath that. And now I'm not going to have anything to talk about when we talk about what's on our bench. So I just ruined
we'll
that
do
whole
a,
thing.
We'll do a quick one. We have some good questions and callbacks and, reactions to WorkBenchCon as well. There is one. So like on the whole concept of walking up to people you don't know or like getting to know these, you know, big influencers.
Don't ever think of me as a big influencer.
Unless it's size, like I'm getting bigger every day.
Well, I mean, but it's out. That's fair.
So at one point we're actually with me, Dan and Coffee are talking. We're like chatting and I like turn around. I'm like,
we talked Coffee?
We with Michael, Michelle Cafe. So we're all talking and I'm like, oh wait, where's Emma? I turn around and Emma's talking to Sam, DIY Huntress, and Brad Rodriguez from Fix This Build That. And I'm like, this is weird. Like 2 years ago, I would have like wept if I got to talk to both of them at the same time. And then she was pulled in by Sam and then was talking with Brad and stuff. I'm like, what is happening? What bizarro universe is this that like Emma gets pulled in to talk to Brad before I do?
People like Emma more than they like you. I've been telling you this for a while.
They really do. And I will say, so this is about to get kind of.
She smells everything. Better than you.
Well,
that's a thing. That's a thing you can tell girls. We learned this.
No, oh my God, Dan.
You want to talk about it?
a server was handing drinks out and whatever, and Dan looks at me. He's like, "She smells great. Like I'm gonna tell her." I'm like, "No,
no." The whole table. Like, do when not. We were at the Yard House. In the battery.
And then he asks her a hypothetical, clearly about her. Would it be okay to tell a girl if she smells good? She's like, yeah. Yes. It's like, this is fine. She's like, he's like, you smell good. She's like, thank you. And we're all like, this is so weird. I want to leave.
Why is that weird? I never understood that. I never understood that. Because
there's plenty of creepy people out there that if they said it, it's
I didn't mean it to be creepy. It was just, wow, you smell good. Good job.
You're,
well done.
If you were there alone,
okay,
just eating by yourself, no.
Or if I'm like, hey,
you smell good.
I just want to let you know you smell good.
Oh my God, your voice.
We'll save that clip.
When did Take Buffalo Bill get here?
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Dan, timestamp that and just record, put a clip or pull a clip or something. Jesus. Oh, Dan.
I think that was 47.
All right, but I want to share my favorite moment of WorkBenchCon. Aside from staring at my own dumb face and then the elevator ride up to the room where you guys are all in the elevator wearing my face as your shirt. But this is going to get a little sappy.
Oh.
And grab your tissues.
Is this a good time for me to go poop?
If you need to, no. No, don't leave. I want you here for this. But it's the humble brag, and I don't mean this in any way as like I'm showing off a look who I am now type of thing, but it was so heartwarming to the point of like I was like on the verge of tears. The nice comments that I got from people, the fact that 4 grown men were wearing my face on their shirts and hats, or 3,
that's
or whatever.
Nothing to be proud of. You should. That's cringy.
The fact that like first night we show up and like it's like Justin maybe who's just tall and tattooed and he's cool and he's recording all these videos for everyone and like the Pineys who I adore and love and like worship, they're so cute and cool and like all these people that are like I look up to still and I think they're killing it in community and they're all like, yeah, we're going wherever Pete goes, everybody follow Pete, and it, like they're like jokingly chanting my name and I'm like, when did I like go to heaven and become part of the cool crew, you know? And then like bumping into or having like Jason Hibbs walk up to me or Jimmy walk up to me and say hi and start a conversation and be like, what? I like a year ago, 2 years ago, like I couldn't fathom even talking to these people. And this is, again, going back to the whole, like, it's okay to approach people because this is my family now.
That's how relationships start.
Yeah.
Relationships like, start by saying hi.
I'm getting choked up just thinking about it, but like,
unless they're your children, you know, still say hi.
One of the last nights someone even said was like, Pete, you're so, how are you so nice? And I just started cursing him out. Just was my reflex.
Hey, F you.
But like, I'm like, F you, you're cool, F you. But it's, you know, this community is so loving. And if you just like good, if you're good to it, they're going to be so good to you. And like, you know, I don't know if I really share this that much, but like, yeah, because I'm from Poland, guess what? I don't really have family here. Like, we jokingly say that everyone at WorkbenchCon, that's our baby's aunts and uncles in the future. Like, that's our extended family. It's really, it's amazing. It's crazy that you can meet people on the internet and be friends and family, basically. So
everything they told you not to do in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah. Well, now it's hard to catfish people with, like, when you're doing 20 stories a day of your stupid
face. Oh, it's super
easy
to catfish people. AI.
Well, I guess
telling you.
That's too much work,
man. It's fun, though. Not that I do it. I don't do it. That's weird. I don't know.
Speaking of fun.
Why would I say that?
Dan, should we jump into in Maker News? Real quick?
Yeah. Finals. Let's do Maker News.
I don't think we have a sound for it.
I mean, I made that one. You said you hated it. You deleted it.
Which one was it?
It was that. Wasn't it like a news?
I don't know. What's this one?
Let's go.
Nah, it's just Mike saying, let's go.
That's not it.
No, we don't have a sound for it. So,
by the way, that sound was really quiet. You need to boost the sound a little bit.
I guess something you can boost, Dan.
Okay.
These news. So I already mentioned Maker U is doing a class this week, and I am the teacher. So make sure to join that if
you're one of the teachers, not the teacher.
I'm the teacher for that one night.
Oh, okay.
I am Maker U that one night. And then after that, it's everyone else. But sign up for that. It's really great. And again, like I said, it's run by our friends. The other thing, and this was interesting. I kind of want to talk to you about this, Dan. SawStop had gifted their patent for their SawStop technology to the world.
I mean,
so that everyone can use it.
Look, I think we could talk for a country mile about this. And I don't know how long that is in time, but
they're not giving me a free saw stop. We can just
they're not giving us free saw stops. However, they're not really gifting it though, are they? I mean,
no.
From what I understand, okay.
Lawsuit, and yes. They just stopped fighting it.
I think their patent has run out because patents only last for like a certain amount of years, right? They're not.
Yeah.
They're not in perpetuity. So I think their patent is running out and they're being forced to give it away or give it to the universe or whatever. So
I'm really glad that it's
that's how I understand it. I could be wrong.
No,
I don't want any litigation coming my way. But yeah. Yeah. I mean it's great. It's great that it's gonna be out there. Hopefully there's more competitors and the price comes down and more people's fingers get saved and stuff, but
yeah. I mean, look at that. What is it? A Felder saw or one of those like high end?
Yeah, I believe that saws? Is a Felder. I mean, that's an expensive saw. You're looking
the thing
at $12,000 to $20,000.
Drops
and it doesn't.
But it doesn't stop the. It doesn't break the blade.
Yeah, it doesn't destroy it the drops. Blade, which is cool. I mean, we could even talk about how Bosch came out with a saw stop style saw, but it had a whole different mechanism. Couple years ago, they called it the Reax, and
with an X.
Yeah, R-E-A-X-X.
Ooh.
Oh, I think it was only two X's.
Check out Bosch on OnlyFans. R-A-X-X.
I think it was Bosch. I can't remember exactly. I'm doing this all by memory, and y'all know how bad my memory is.
Even anti-kickback technology on saws that literally cut the motor immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like my crappy DeWalt saw has it, so I will never get kickback while I'm cutting a board. That's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool. And it's nice that technology is getting out there. So,
yeah,
that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. But it's really cool because we're going to see it in a lot more things.
I will say, so going back to WorkbenchCon, ShopSmith. First of all, ShopSmith is still a thing.
Yeah.
Well, Maker News, ShopSmith's still a thing. There you go. There's my Maker News. they were demonstrating at WorkbenchCon, and you know they're really putting new technology into these things, and they're amazing. However, anyways, Braden, Nick, and I we were up there chatting up the ShopSmith people, and I can't remember who brought up the SawStop issue, but they had a lot to say about that certain situation, and they are none too happy with the SawStop. So if they both listen to this, drama.
Drama.
Anyways.
Also, they're not sponsoring us.
But. ShopSmith. Let's talk about that for a second. Like, I had no idea that was still a thing. I thought that was something that, like, a gimmicky tool that was made in the 50s and 60s, and they died out. But they're still making those in Ohio.
We have listeners to this podcast that are like, what are these old geezers talking about? They've never seen or heard of ShopSmith before.
Google ShopSmith. It'll blow your mind.
I bet you Sarah Goldstein, one of our patrons, she probably has never heard of ShopSmith.
I mean, it's like nine tools in one. You could basically get rid of your bandsaw, your drill press, your lathe, your table saw. It's got everything in one machine.
Anyone that's confused, it's two sets of rails. Like, think of like rails that are on a Onefinity, right? And there is just a big effing motor in the center.
Right.
With like, I think the spine comes out in both directions. I forget. Or maybe just one side.
Perhaps, possibly.
But anyways, there's literally like a spot that it would latch onto. Like, think R2-D2 trying to open up a door. Like, a thing goes into it, and okay, it locks in.
You lost me at nerdy there you Star go, Trek God. Talk.
But, but this thing, essentially, you can take, they had like a bandsaw there, a table saw, a jointer.
A drill press,
a lathe, and it all just hooks up to it. Because all it is just a motor, and you have this big, powerful motor to run all these machines.
So you just get different adapters and put all these different machines on them.
And they're not like full size. Like, the jointer had like, I don't know, like 12-inch infeed and outfeed, but that's no bigger than like the tabletop.
Yeah, it's like a tabletop size, like a Delta or the, that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. Rigid maybe makes one.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing. It's still, listen, at the end of the day, it's still very cool. It's still a different technology, different way to approach it. And
like, if you're tight, if you're tight on space, that might be the perfect thing for you. It might be. I mean, I even said that. I was like, wow, I could get rid of so many things in my shop. And the guy was like, could you say that again, except into this microphone? Like, for a few dollars, I could.
That's great.
Was pretty funny. They're nice people. They gave me a hat. So
they did give you a hat. They did not give me a hat.
Well, you didn't say please.
Well, speaking of please, Dan, could you please tell me
what's on my bench?
Why don't you give me a quick what's on a bench? Well,
I just basically talked about it.
I know you talked about some of it.
However, I will go a little bit more into detail. Like I said, I came back to nearly... Yeah, just over 100, 102. My wife and I counted them. It was ridiculous. And by counted them, I just looked at the little red dot that's on my phone. I've been swimming out of that, or trying to swim out of that. It's been an uphill battle. It's like I'm swimming in a whirlpool, which is great. Money's money. It's paying the bills. But it's slightly frustrating because, man, I really don't like disappointing people. But I feel like I'm letting people down right and left. It's actually gotten to the point where, like, I had to tell another local woodworker. His name's Mike from Twisted Tree Woodworks. I think he had brought me a bunch of like panels that he wanted me to CNC for him because he does wine boxes and he does like a bunch at a time. And we had kind of worked out a sort of a verbal deal where he was going to bring me all these panels. And he brought them to me just before WorkbenchCon. I was like, yeah, I'll get to them after WorkbenchCon. I came back. I got 100 orders. I had to text him today and say, man, I don't know what kind of timeline you have, but if you have a very strict deadline, I'm not going to be able to do this. So he's going to have to come pick them up tomorrow. And I feel like a turd. But, you know, I gotta keep my business that's actually keeping the roof over my head happy. So.
I keep putting this off, but I feel like I really need to fly out to Nebraska,
man,
to help you for a
week. You're always welcome.
Oh, but Dan, it will be no drinking until after 5. Work all day for 2 or 3
party
days.
Party all night. Yeah.
Party until like 10:30 in fire pit, and then yeah. Like, and then like we get you caught up, and then the reset. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the big things I miss about Isaiah being in my shop. If you're a new listener and you have no idea who I'm talking about, Isaiah was the guy who worked in my shop with me for a short period of time. He motivated me to constantly work and make sure things were running. Like, if I had a machine running and I went and sat down and looked at my phone, he'd come over and go, "Hey, why don't you go do this?" I'm like, "Man, who is running this shop? Is it me or you?"
But it's the concept of body doubling, you know? Right? When you have a buddy there, you just get more work done. Like when I have Emma in here, dude, it's like I'm trying to impress someone that I already locked down. It's so weird, but your brain doesn't think. Right? Like it just does it anyways. Like, oh, I don't want to disappoint this stranger.
And speaking of Etsy, like I think I mentioned before that the table sales are going pretty well, which is nice. I sold one of those. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I sold one of those pick tables that I made. Yeah. Did I mention this last week?
No, the bed frame. No, there was no show last week.
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you sold this table. Yeah, yeah.
Also, many months ago, I feel like maybe a year ago, I put that bed, that Thuma-style bed that I've made before. I made two of them in the past. So I was like, what the heck? I'll put it on Etsy. And I did, and I finally sold one this past week, which was nice. It's a full size bed. She
Can
wants
you
to
share
make...
the like what you charge for this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Item? Would you mind? And keep in mind, people, this was bought through Etsy. Someone just bought this on Etsy.
Yeah. I've had several people inquire about it, but nobody's ever like gone through and buy it. And I put it up there just for shits and giggles. You know, I never really expected to sell one, but hey, if I did, cool. I got it listed as starting at $1,599. And yeah, I'm one of those guys that does the 99. I don't know why. It's just
that's $1,599.
Yeah, $1,599.
There's crazy people out there that are like, "Where's my table? I bought this plan for $1,599."
Yeah, I gave you $16. Where's my? It starts at $1,599 for a twin. And it goes up to a king. So it's twin, full, queen, king. She bought a full, so I think that was $17.99. And that includes shipping. I've already shipped two of them, so I know how much that's going to cost me. It should cost me about $90 to $100 within the contiguous 48.
Dude, but that's crazy. Like, so someone dropped $1,800 on Etsy.
Yeah.
Like, people do that.
The customers are out there. You just got to get your stuff in front of their eyes, apparently. So, and like I've said before, once you sell something, it helps kind of get that ball rolling, and Etsy will start showing it to more and more people. So, if you have a bigger item and you want to sell it and Etsy's your place, it costs 20 cents to list it, man. It ain't going to cost you much. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You don't
sell one. If you
don't sell
your nose at 20 cents, right? This is not the game for you.
So I've been listing all sorts of stuff. So I'm like, I'll figure out how to ship it. Where there's a will, there's a way, baby. So
attaboy.
I'm excited. I sold a bed through Etsy, so that's cool. But now I have to make a bed, and I don't have time. Yay. What's great about that order, though, is she messaged me right away, and she said, "Hey, I actually don't need this for quite a while. I really don't need it till like May or June." I'm like, that is
no
perfect.
No. Oh, that would be effed up. Oh, because Dan's not going to touch it until he's going to be May. We're going to be recording an episode, and you're going to be like, "I still got to make that bed frame. I paid for it like 3 months ago. I still got to make it."
Yeah, but with Etsy, you can actually go in and change the ship by date manually. So I moved it all the way out till mid-May. So it ain't going to affect me.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, it won't be overdue-ish. But yeah, I can't send it because apparently she's moving. So if I send it earlier, she'll be mad, which probably get me a bad review, and that'll be that.
Anyway. Sent too quickly, 1 star. First time I get that.
But obviously my life is controlled by Etsy, so not much to share there. My shop is an absolute disaster. Something needs to be done, and hopefully soon the Oma Bros are going to help me organize my life and my shop. So I can't wait for that. Hopefully soon.
And maybe NJ Tree.
Well, yeah, I would love
Oma Bros. I don't know. I have to think of like my own name. state-based name.
Aren't you jealous that I have a group? Oma Bros. It just rolls off the tongue.
He's worth five Oma Bros.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a cool name like Oma Bros. So
six. Well, you don't know that. We're the Sussex County.
Don't like that.
Sussex County.
Don't like that. Don't like that.
But Dan, can you also talk about how you're going to keep your truck for another however many years?
No, I don't want to talk about that at all. Not until it's all done, figured out. I may or may not keep my Trailboss, depending on what kind of deal I can get. That's all I'll say about that. What's up with you, Mr. Sussex?
Well, we're kind of like you. We don't have as many orders as you, but we're catching up on orders and requests and emails and things like that. And you know, when you're away and you keep weird hours and sometimes you don't have service, like there's maybe an Etsy message or two that slips through the cracks and you don't answer in time.
I got it down to 78.
Oh, that's blurry. A lot of red there. Dan, I've never seen one of those overdue things. So
well, there you go. Cool. You're welcome.
So we've actually seen, while we're away, it was really odd, we've seen an uptick in all three of our shops. So Shopify, TikTok Shop, and on Etsy. So we're trying to stay on top of all three, and they all got different. When you're in multiple places, it gets a little challenging sometimes, but it ain't too bad. Not too bad. but we're just getting sorted out. It's Thursday. We finally unpacked our bags today. However, the shop's still not unpacked. So the goodie bags and a bunch of other stuff is still in the shop. I still have Keith's stuff. I have Justin's stuff. I have a bunch of those cutting board feet. I have the Piney's stuff.
Good
just
Lord.
In my shop. I know.
The back of your Explorer must have been just swag bags.
Riding real low. Real low, bud. So, but it's good.
Driving
it's
through the South like, what's up?
So tomorrow morning I'm seeing Keith, tomorrow afternoon Justin's coming, and then we're going to see the Pineys in the next couple of weeks too for a meetup. So it's fine. We almost do it as a reason to hang out after Workbench Con.
We did it last year. I do remember Carlina saying that to Patrick. They're like, she goes, yeah, because he's like, we could probably take that. And she goes, no, let him take it. That way we have an excuse to go visit.
Yeah. And until then I have some extra clamps to use. So, what else? We're kind of resetting our goals after this week. So we've been working. We finally got caught up on some emails, reached out to everyone. And when we're talking about reaching out to people you talk to at WorkbenchCon, we don't just mean brands. I think it's good to reach out to people that you may have had a good conversation with, like, hey, really great chatting with you. I reached out to a bunch. I've had some people reach out to me, and it's a really nice feeling to be like, hey, I remember us talking at 1 a.m. in the morning. That was really helpful. Thank you. You know, that's big. So I encourage you to reach out to people if someone had made an impression on you. Because I think it's just a good, good way to be a human.
Way to foster those relationships, man.
Foster those relationships. And, the last thing was I've been dealing with, our oven died right before our trip. And I had a new oven delivered 2 days ago. Tested it. The fan for the convection was grinding in the back.
But
they picked it up this morning and I'm like, hey, so when's my new one coming? They're like, I don't know why they didn't just schedule it as one
right
drop off and pick up. So tomorrow they're efficiency, bringing in a new oven.
We don't know about that.
I know,
that.
but very excited.
One thing you kind of skipped over is you got that new oven and you hooked it all up and it was good to go. And then you found the flaw or whatever.
Yeah, I had to convert it because we're on propane. So that comes with propane, the little nozzles.
Propane accessories.
Yeah, so we had to convert it all, and it's a pain in the butt. And it's one of those things where they give you, the nozzles are a weird wrench size, and they don't give you the wrench. So, you just have to, and it's a non-standard size.
Certainly, you didn't have any wrenches in your shop. No way.
I did. Guess what? Didn't have the small one. I had to lean on Joe, my neighbor.
Lean on Joe!
This little opening where you have to get it down. Oh, Joe taught me a neat trick. Dan, you're going to love this. So if you have a socket wrench and you're trying to put a bolt on, if it's a non-ferrous one, uh-huh, you don't want it to fall out. Uh-huh. He puts a paper towel in there and then sticks the bolt inside. So it sticks. And also if you're trying to remove one from somewhere, you stick a paper towel, stick your finger inside the socket, uh-huh, and go on top of the screw, and it's pressure fit. So when you're done unscrewing it, it'll just come out with the wrench.
What?
Mind freaking blown. Brilliant. It's just stuff you learn from a mechanic, you know, so it's good stuff.
That's what 90 years in the biz would get you.
Yeah. Oh, good thing Joe doesn't listen to this.
Speaking of tips and tricks.
Speaking of tips and tricks, let's go.
Hey. No, you shared the plumbing hack. The plumbing, the little glove trick.
I did it as a story, and I had three people reach out to me being like, that's a great tip. And some of them were like, you should share that. I'm like, you know what? Here's the thing. I've been in my own head about my own content where like I'm not posting it because it's not perfect. So I was like, screw it. I'm doing it. So thanks, Adam Barnett. He was the last one that nudged me, that pushed me over the edge. Adam pushes me over the edge often.
Usually not in a good way.
Yeah, no. But no, he was like, yeah, you should share that. I'll make a good reel. I'm like, okay,
you know what?
I'm doing it.
I've seen a lot of people make story content into real content. Because you know how there's some content that's like, this should be a story. And you're like, no.
This should be a reel. This should be a reel.
I love Patrick and Justin from Campfire Woodworks.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been working on, they want to do a reel every day. And they've been doing a reel every day since like Maker Camp, I think. Or maybe first of the year.
No, the first of the year. They did all of January every single day. I think they may have dialed it back a little bit for February, but they're still consistent.
Yes. It is paying off like tenfold. Go look at their accounts. They're growing. They're doing great. However, I will say that Patrick is really pushing the boundaries with his real content. Like sometimes he'll post something. I'm like, that should have been a story. But he's doing it. My point is, he's doing it.
He's working. Yeah.
So don't let that stop you, Pete.
I often say that like TikTok posts are what stories are in Instagram, because TikTok's a lot more conversational. You can like respond to comments and like just kind of ramble.
I agree with that.
But like then again, that content's also being cross-posted to Instagram. Just I guess my Instagram's curated differently, so it's not really showing that. But whatever, it don't matter.
All right. But just to be clear, all love for Patrick. I love Patrick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Genesal. Patrick Genesal. So why don't we get into some questions, Dan?
Please. That was awkward.
You're very awkward. You're a very awkward person. So I think the first one, I think this is from Randall from Very Expensive Connecticut.
Hey, guys. It's Randy up here in the currently very cold Connecticut. It's about 27 degrees. And we just got past that blizzard, quote unquote, that we just had up here. I have a question about shop furniture. My shop is 10 feet wide by 22 feet deep and 7 feet tall, completely surrounded by concrete, and I rent, so I can't attach anything really to the concrete, and I'm very limited on space. The question I have is, knowing that we're moving in about 2 to 3 years, do I make custom-sized furniture to the shop and hoping it fits in what my next shop would be? Or do I just go get like 2x4s and 4x4s and plywood and just kind of slap stuff together to get me by? Can't wait to hear the answer. Love the podcast. Talk to you later.
All right.
Dan, what do you think?
Don't just slap stuff together. I mean, you're not going to be happy with that. I think in the long run, it's going to be a waste of money because you're just going to rip it apart probably. However, I will say make custom furniture, but not for the size of your shop, but for the size of your tools, especially if you think you're going to keep those tools for a longer period of time, because the size of your tools aren't going to change as much as the size of your shop, especially if you know that you're going to be moving in the near future. That's my piece of advice. That's the only correct answer. What do you say, Pete?
Well, let me give you some wrong answers real quick. I would almost lean to 50-50 on this one. And the reason I want to say that is first of all, don't do full built-ins unless you're planning to leave them.
Obviously.
And also built-ins are a little, you know, because like if you have a miter station and let's say you have like, think like Scotty Walsh's shop, like it's a one car wide and his miter station's in the back and it's basically a built-in there.
And it's beautiful. And he's got a very nice zero clearance insert.
Gorgeous. Yes. But, you know, like that's kind of meant to stay there. And if you try to move that into another place, it's going to be a little difficult. So what I would say is build a bunch of cabinets that are fairly modular that you can just throw a screw and add them together and it takes the screws out. Yeah, just make a bunch of boxes somewhere for different heights. They're different tools. I love the concept. I saw somebody build this once. It was a bunch of modular cabinets. They're all like a standard 24-inch wide by 24-inch deep with a countertop. But they were just like adding, he added them side by side by side. It wasn't a continuous top. It was each thing was separate. But there was a couple that were lower. So like his rigid spindle sander, the top of the spindle sander was counter height. He had a mini joiner, and that joiner, the infeed and outfeed was just a hair above where the other workbenches were. So he could actually move it around depending on where he wanted it, or if he wanted to move it to another part of the shop, that was fairly modular. So maybe think, design some furniture around things that like, you know, you're going to be able to take and move into a new space with no trouble. Now, look at even like Paul Jackman from whatever his account is. I don't know. I don't follow him. But check out Paul Jackman. He had those like large cabinets that he built. They were all in casters, but like all kind of attached firmly. I think I'm pretty sure they're on casters. So when he moved, like he moved several states and it all held together and it still is miter station and all that stuff. So, you know, there is ways to make these things very durable, but still movable. Now, the other part of this is for some furniture, do some quick built-ins. Try to maximize the space. Throw a couple 2x4s and crappy plywood at it. Put a top on it. Like my CNC was literally built into the at my old shop, into the corner of my garage. And like to the point where I notched out a section where like it went behind the garage door, like to maximize the space so I can keep like random pieces back there. Just use whatever space you can. So that's why you want to half-ass some, quarter-ass some, and then full-ass the rest of it. The stuff that you're really going to move over with you wherever you're going next. That's going to last you a while. Yeah.
That was all wrong. But yes. Absolutely.
Wait, don't quarter-ass?
3.3333,
yes. All right. Next question is kind of along the same lines. It's from our new good friend, Matthew. Who won our ticket to WorkbenchCon?
Abelman.
Yeah, he's quite the able man. So here it is.
What's up, guys? It's Matthew from Ablewood Custom Shop. Just want to thank you first off for sponsoring me going to WorkbenchCon. But my question is, I work out of a garage and a house that I rent. There is one outlet in that garage, and it's in the ceiling. And it makes it a pain in the to do anything with it. So I've got a couple extension cords and a power strip, but I have to unplug and plug in individual tools in order to do anything, which makes my dust collection, there is none. I have to continuously vacuum and blow out the garage. Is there any solution you could think that would be easy and safe? Because there's a lot of, seen a lot of things burn down, and it makes me really nervous. All right, guess that's it. Thanks, guys. See ya.
I have a solution for you, but it is not going to be cheap.
You're not going to like it.
You're not going to like it. Battery-powered tools. Seriously, though, get a battery-powered...
Oh, I hate that you're not wrong in this.
...table saw, battery-powered miter saw. That way you can still plug in your dust collector. However, as I said, it's not going to be cheap. Battery-powered miter saws, battery-powered table saws are expensive. But you're kind of in a really crappy predicament, right? Like, you're a renter. You don't want to be making huge modifications to where you're living. I get it. So... honestly, I don't see many other options. Hopefully, Pete has a better answer for you. But that's all I got.
Well, it's actually, you know what, Dan? 10 years ago, if somebody was like, go battery everything, I'd be like, you're stupid.
I mean, technology has come a long way.
It's
so
good. And like a lot of these saws are taking dual batteries, so you're actually having a lot of power behind it.
Exactly. I mean, I've seen battery-powered augers that are augering out fence posts. I mean,
and some of them are Ryobi even.
Yeah.
And they work.
Riding lawnmowers with batteries. I mean, battery technology has come a long way, and I think that might be your solution right now.
Oh, I hate it, but Dan's not wrong. One thing. So what first thing I'm going to recommend is you're going to go out on Amazon or store or whatever. Actually, go on Amazon, buy a corded, like retractable cable reel for power. Mm-hmm. So don't just do an extension like one. I actually ended up getting one that was it's an outlet with three like nice outlets. The thing is pretty beefy. And it can handle some good voltage. I'm assuming that you've run multiple tools already on multiple extension cords off that one outlet, and it's been fine. So at least you're not tripping that thing. At least it's not like, 13 amps or something. That's not a real thing, but like a 15 amp circuit, like you'll just blow that so quickly. The other thing, it seems like you're really more concerned with how dusty the shop is getting, and you're a little afraid about, fire, which is a very, very valid concern to have. I cannot stress enough, collect the dust at the tool. Right. I think a shop vac is great. Shop vacs are so loud.
It's better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, but they're very loud. I would recommend, instead of getting like a big dust collector or something, invest in a very nice, and I mean this, get a nice vacuum that is has a plug on it, which means you can plug a tool into it and then run the hose to the tool. So when you run the tool, the vacuum turns on. And then when you turn off the tool, it runs for another like 5 seconds. It continues to clean.
That's another good option. And you can
switch it from, like Festool makes them. And I know Festool
expensive. Not a cheap option, but it's an option.
Marka has them. Fine. Actually, FEIN, I think, is a company. Fine makes. They're one of the first companies that had done this back in the day. And their vacuums are pretty reliable and cheap. And try to look for, because you're going to be using that as your primary dust collector, you can use a separate separator on it. Something like the dust hopper.
The mullet.
Nida has a separator. The mullet is a great option. So you want something that's actually going to drop a lot of that stuff in there. Because the thing is, and this is speaking from experience, I've got a very nice, Festool vacuum. It's awesome. I don't have a reusable bag. So once every couple of months, when that vacuum bag fills up, I sit there and I'm dumping it through the opening into the, while it's collecting it into the big dust collector, right? It's stupid. They make resealable bags, but I just don't want to buy it because they're kind of pricey. So to avoid that, you want a separator and a vacuum. There's nothing wrong with a shop vac. They're great, but they're very loud and you're gonna hate it so much that you're not going to turn it on. Something that's a little more like designed for long runs, like these sander vacuums. That's something that's really going to be a nice solution for you. And I think, like, listen, you don't need to break the bank. Like, you can even get a Festool vacuum. I think I got one for like $250 or something. And all of them, no matter how big, they have the same suction for the most part. It's the bag that's the difference, or HEPA filtration. Actually, that's another one. Yeah, the HEPA filtration, that's huge too. But you want something with an added separator or hopper in front of it. And you can hook up the mullet to the Festool vac. I know, because I've done it. It works great, and highly recommend that.
So dust, I think that's going to be your dust deputy.
That's dust deputy is another one. But yeah, Oneida, we saw at the show. Oneida has another one. It's like a bucket separator.
Yeah, it's like a little cyclone you put on a 5 gallon bucket.
So there's a lot of cheap. Basically, you're slapping something cheap to something very expensive, but it's going to be a great solution and way less. And also, hey, it comes, you plug into the ceiling or to whatever, and it has an outlet on it. So it's not like you lose an outlet. Mm-hmm. That's kind of huge. So I think that's going to be your best solution, man. Be safe in the shop. Keep it clean. And it's also that your lungs are going to help you if you clean up your shop. Dan, you hear that? Dan?
What?
You cough so loud, your mic muted you.
No, I actually have to cough because I cough fake.
You fake cough, so now you're really coughing?
Yeah. No, I'm dying. Okay.
Matthew, great question. And also, bud, great meeting you. It was really nice. He's super sweet.
I'm glad he was able to enjoy the ticket and he had a good time.
Yeah. Super happy with that. All right. Last is a mystery caller.
What?
And I think it's a girl.
Hello, boys and AWP beautiful people. I am sending in my takeaways from WorkbenchCon. So my first favorite part is always getting to see our friends from the internet. We only get to see everybody, most people in real life, once or twice a year. So that is always like the biggest exciting part for me. because I love people. And then this year, I feel like my biggest takeaway actually came from the classes. I feel like the info this year was really good and it gave us some really good inspiration to leave with. And then also I feel like we had like a solid game plan afterwards. Sometimes I feel like you get so inspired, but you leave and you're kind of like, what am I supposed to do? But this time I feel like we really had like a solid idea of like where we need to go next. So that was pretty great to leave feeling like we really got our time worth out of it, if that makes sense. So anyway, have fun tonight. See you in a little bit. Bye. Ooh. Oh, by the way, it's Emma.
Oh, that was it. I thought she sounded familiar. Okay. All makes sense now.
It's a little ASMR. I don't know if how I feel about my wife calling into this podcast sounding better than us.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say anything. She sounded
recorded
quite good.
On iPhone.
Did she record that on her phone?
Yeah, on her phone.
What the heck?
I know. What the hootin' heckin'? So we asked for some people to call in with their kind of like their experience with Workbench Con. What they really like? What were their takeaways? So we have a couple as well.
Yeah, we got some.
Emma, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Maybe we'll get some more voicemails from her in the future.
That would be cool by me. is she in the background going, fine?
Oh, she's in bed. It is late. It's about past midnight.
Oh,
she's
it's definitely midnight in o'clock bed. In your yeah. neck of the woods. Yeah, so we got a couple write-in questions. first one I'm going to read is from Max Reed. He says, first, hi, Emma. And B, there were a lot of great people and experiences at the conference, but what was your favorite experience of the weekend outside of the conference itself? Thanks, guys. Keep up the mad work. Like I said before, my favorite experience was the chat I had with Jimmy Diresta. That was fantastic.
I think we kind of covered that in the first part of it.
For sure.
And then actually, there was a second part that he included.
Yes, he talked about his takeaways.
Did you get that as well, or you want me to read it?
You can read it. I'm not good at the reading.
So his favorite experience, obviously hanging out with you guys and Emma and Nick, and I guess Braden too. Yeah, that is the Met Army.
Braden is kind of mid. I don't know if I used that word correctly.
He's a mid? Oh, that's look at you using.
Did I do it right?
You were close enough. Okay. I'll allow it.
Cool. What's up, fellow kids?
What's up, fellow kids? Hello, youths. So then there's two more things. So Max's favorite experience. My favorite experience from this year was all the new friends I left with. I was really great, actually. Not meeting them, but seeing them again. Both Makers and Brands and Jeff from Maker's Way stuffing money in my pockets for beer. And then Alyssa's favorite takeaway was my favorite class was the power carving class. I might become a power carver now. And this is actually great because they showed off these like power carved knives, like bread knives or butter knives or whatever.
Shank knives.
Really, really cool. Yeah, I really liked it. I'm like, oh man, I should have maybe done a carving thing. So
I'm sad to report that I didn't know power carving was a class. I would have done that. That sounds
was,
fun.
It was at the because it was one of those booth classes. It wasn't like a person teaching
okay,
it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it was a human. It was a person teaching it.
It was a human, yeah. Not a robot.
Human or human woman. But yeah, it was because there was this year was actually interesting at WorkbenchCon. There was brands doing classes,
right?
And from what little I hear, they're pretty good. Bobs. Yeah, some hands on, some was more like in depth with their programs or like taking your business to the next level, which is pretty cool. Good stuff.
Actually, they reminded me of something that Braden, Nick, and I did. It seems like I just went to WorkbenchCon to hang out with my Oma bros. I could have saved a lot of money.
You could have just stayed home.
Braden, Nick, and I, and Scott Shirk from Red Lake Custom Woodworks, we got pulled into putting together the gong for WorkbenchCon.
Gong with a G.
G-O-N-G. Gong.
Yeah, gong.
So at the end of the conference, I don't know if they did it this year, actually. At the end of the conference, they usually bang a gong to signify the closing of the ceremony.
I didn't hear them bang it.
They were probably scared to because, like I said, us four, we put it together because Chris Giffro from Cowdog Craftworks.
Hey, Chris designed it.
He designed it and put it together last year. So maybe it's not that long of a tradition. However, when he made it, it probably went together great, right? I'm sure it was silky smooth and it worked great. But I don't know where the WorkbenchCon folks have been storing this thing, but it must have moved all kinds of ways and twisted. And we had a hell of a time putting that thing together. We had to beat the crap out of it.
Are you saying wood moves?
Wood definitely moves, and I have proof. And I have a really funny video. I might post that.
Dude, that was 100% stored in, like, someone's yard.
It had to be stored in, like something
non-climate
that
controlled. Yeah.
So, yeah, we were putting that thing together. We were beating the crap out of it. It's probably got all kinds of nicks and breaks and chips on it now, but we got that sucker together, and I did not want to be around to see when it got gone, because if it fell apart, I didn't want any part of it. Anyway, that was pretty fun.
And
I never got a free drink for it, though, either.
Kristen. Yeah, well, I was supposed to get a free drink from the Maker University. I negotiated my fee to be that, whatever it is, plus a drink. So I never got that, so don't be hearing from my lawyers.
Yeah,
that's bold. And call back to what Max said. He mentioned hanging out with Jeff from Maker's Way. I'm going to give Jeff a shout out. Really solid dude. He's one of those dudes that I was like, kind of intimidated. He doesn't seem like he'd be like me, because I'm a nerd, whatever. Super nice dude. Super cool. Hella funny. Loved hanging out with him. So Jeff, if you're listening to this, I love you, bro.
Don't knock a beer out of his hand and don't touch his hair.
Yeah, don't try to start fights with him, Dan. Maybe that's just a good rule overall for everyone.
It's probably just
my
a good
God.
Rule. Don't start fights with people.
And maybe don't tell him he smells nice.
I mean, I think Jeff would appreciate that, actually. Jeff, you actually smell nice. Actually, yeah, I can say that. All right, we got another. Before this gets really awkward, we got another write-in.
Adam Barnett.
This is from Adam Barnett of Barnett Custom Woodworks. I'm just going to read this verbatim, okay? He writes, I'm a patron. You have to read this. I, the current speaker,
Dan,
had the great pleasure of seeing Adam in person at WorkbenchCon. It was the greatest part of my year so far, and won't be topped until I see him again at MakerCamp, probably. Possibly tied with Pete and Emma's baby. P.S. What was your favorite class and booth at WorkbenchCon?
Oh, Dan's coughing now again. That's great. Yeah, not me. I don't know if anything's going to tie the baby. We'll see. I don't know. For all we know, the baby's going to be I don't know. She'd be lame and not be into nerdy stuff and making.
No way.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to try to apply this gentle art of persuasion that I call attrition, where I just wear away the child until she's like, fine, I'll watch Star Trek. You know,
I've tried to do that with my kids. They don't like any of the things I do. So good luck.
Good luck. So yeah, Dan, favorite booth at WorkbenchCon, Dan?
Man, I think I probably Onefinity. There was always like fun things going on over there. And I really just like hanging out with a bunch of those guys. The Bow booth was actually pretty fun. I like talking to Bill and Bill. I got a kick out of them. Excuse me. And Total Boat. Obviously, how did I miss that? Total Boat's always a fun booth. That's usually where like there's a big crowd of people and it's a party and it's fun. Those are my top three.
And I want to say I am so proud of Dan because he just named three booths that were there, and there was literally a booth that provided bourbon, and Dan didn't mention that one.
I forgot about that.
Every memory of that place was wiped. See, like I said in the intro, there's so many things that we'll never forget. And some things that we immediately forgot.
I shouldn't have fake coughed, by the way, because I am
messed you up.
I am choking. I'm choking. I'm dying over here.
Well, listen, Total Boat is that's family. We go there first. We hang out there. We say hi, and then we go from there. That's home base, right? Total Boat is always home base. I had a good time at the Lightburn booth because just I got to see a new program, try it out, and like it was cool to see like the designers and engineers like take notes from a nobody, you know, so super cool. Cause you never get that close to the ground floor on stuff. Onefinity's obvious one because that's another family booth. Gotta give a shout out to Hannah, over at Surf Prep. Hannah's just like the nicest. And every time I talk to her, I just like them even more. And, they're just super solid over there. What up?
I gotta give a shout out to the Scroll Saw booth.
Yeah, that was on my list.
How did
next. It's was it Bear? Wait, not Bear Hollow or no?
Yeah, Bear, I think Bear Hollow. Bearwood.
The Bear Hollow Supply was, we worked with them once. It was Bearwood. I'm blanking on it, but it was, the whole booth was basically Ashley from Ashwood and Hawk and Lizzie from A House of Timber teaching people how to use scroll saws and showing off the equipment, and they were just so upbeat and welcoming, and it was great. I've never scroll sawed before. It was great. We actually got a couple videos of us doing it. Photo with the ladies.
Speaking super of fun. Videos of scrolls, did you see the video of
Dave it, and Jeff and who else was it?
Was it Kamani?
I don't know. So there was a there's a video where Lizzie's helping Ashley scroll saw. And it was like a ghost-esque,
yeah, with, you know, the ghost music,
hands on the hands, and you know, and then the boys did the same. They're like, we could do thirst traps, you know, and of course the puppet, Dave's puppet.
Yeah, let's talk about
cool Dave.
Dave's
let's talk
puppet.
About cool Gee Dave. Whiz. So Dave leaned in fully with cool Dave puppet, and
Dave he was 3D everywhere, DIY and
he
Dave.
Was the highlight. You know what? Dave won Workbench Con because he had the coolest person with him. Also. I don't want to bring this up or anything, but I don't think he actually bought him a ticket. So that kind of cool. broke. That's BS, you know. But listen, but then again, cool Dave.
Yes, the video, it's Jeff from Maker's Way, Kamani.
Kamani.
Dave's puppet.
And cool Dave.
Cool Dave.
I'm starting to think the puppet thing works the other way. Cool Dave controls lame Dave.
No, lame Dave controls cool Dave.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Don't give him too much credit.
It's pretty cool.
It's it's hilarious. And I'm jealous that he's got it.
If if we got a puppet, we would be in jail.
I mean, Dave was trying to get a bunch of people to do it, and he's like, look, we could probably all get puppets and like sell this as a big brand deal and like we could get sponsors on board. I'm like,
the Maker Muppets and get sued.
Yes.
Out the butt.
It would be fun though. It'd be fun.
But again, we couldn't do it. We would get immediately arrested.
Probably. Immediately, no. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure nothing good would come of that from me having a puppet for sure.
Yeah. Definitely creepy.
Yeah, I can't believe we didn't talk about that sooner. That was actually a pretty fun highlight. I know,
it was so fun. And again, there's so many things that happened. There's so much fun and didn't record enough content as it was. I don't think I have any like usable content for a reel or whatever.
Right.
But, well, also on the, you know, coming off this hot event, I just want to point out to everyone that Maker Camp announced the dates for this year's Maker Camp. So it's very exciting. I'm going to tell you guys exactly when it is. I'm definitely not stalling. October 11th to the 14th Woo. Of this year. So it's actually a week after it usually is, kind of. I think it just works out like that with the calendar. But you know we're going to be there. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm having trouble. Yeah. I'm dying. No,
Dan's dying. So I'll do the outro. But it is. Yeah, confirmed. It is a week after it usually is because it's usually that first week of October. So super stoked. Make sure to, you know, start planning that. Don't buy your tickets yet. We might probably have a discount code or something.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see if maybe we can work that out again this year. But yeah, we are very excited for everything. We're excited for next week. We have a guest, but we haven't locked him down yet. So we'll probably have someone on. If not, we'll do a little topic episode. And also a little teaser, we are approaching episode 200 soon, which means we could have something really big or absolutely nothing going on.
It could go either way.
It could go either way. So, but anyways, thank you to our patrons. You guys are amazing. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you to everyone that said hi and gave us a big hug at WorkbenchCon. It was incredible. And we look forward to hugging the rest of you guys at some point in our future. Make sure to go, if you don't follow us already, go check us out on all the platforms. We're still trying to grow.
And if Dan's you want to see what all the hype is about, go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and help us out over there. We'd sure love to have you.
Best way to support the show. And of course, if you want to see our dumb faces and our cool backgrounds and the silly shirts we wear while we record this and the pre-show, make sure to go check out youtube.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast. And you're like, I can't remember that. Well, guess what? It's in the show notes. Where we put all the topics we talk about, all the cool sponsors we have, any links and things like that. So
Pete puts a lot of work into the show notes. So make use of them.
I put a medium amount of work. I mainly make Emma do everything.
I'm trying to make you look good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, thank you guys for listening. We are keeping it under 2 hours, as promised.
Hey.
And we'll see you all next week.
It'll be a long time.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Smell good.